Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Hoosiers back in action tomorrow. Of course, we'll have the game live right here on the Big X with Don Fisher. It's on Big Ten Plus, so if you can't get Big Ten Plus or you want to listen to the great voice of the Hoosiers, catch it right here tomorrow on the Big X Sports Radio. Speaking of other things forthcoming on the station, high school football tonight, sectional championship night across the state of Indiana. We've got three teams left of eight football-playing schools in Clark and Floyd County. Jeffersonville at Floyd Central. We have two local teams playing in the Class 5A sectional championship game tonight. Providence playing at home tonight. They will take on Triton Central, a very tough matchup. I think you could say Floyd and Triton Central, the big favorites in our local games tonight to move on to one-game regionals next week. But nonetheless, we'll have sectional football coverage tonight here on the Big X starting at 6 o'clock with the Kentuckiana High School kickoff show. At 7 o'clock, we've got play-by-play of Jeffersonville at Floyd Central. We'll have updates from the Providence-Triton Central game. I'll have constant scoreboard highlights throughout the night. And, of course, when it's all said and done later tonight, we'll have the Extremenasium scoreboard show where we'll have guests and coaches and we'll recap everything. We'll give you the pairings for next week as well. So a full evening of high school football forthcoming here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us today. Sorry about yesterday. We had full intention to have Alex and Bozich and a normal show for you, but we had some electricity issues here at the station, which knocked us off for a bit. But we are glad to be back with you today and get you into the weekend here on the show. Don't forget, the Hoosier Report is presented each day by CC Power Sports. And let's get into today's show lineup, which is a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In the opening segment, we have our Zaxby's headlines. In our headlines today, we're going to talk a little bit about IU's opponent on Saturday afternoon. It's Portland State coming to town to take on Indiana in another one of these early season, get adjusted, get acclimated, experiment with lineups, matchups for the Hoosiers, which, again, like I've said all month long and will probably continue to say for the rest of the month, most of these games are going to be about the same. Yes, there are going to be some better teams and some worse teams come to town this month. No big-name opponents, all mid to low major opponents, and they all offer Indiana the chance not only to finish the month 7-0, which I think is a standard. Indiana needs to do that, but a chance to figure things out for some of the big matchups that are coming a little bit later once we get into December. Also, a neat note in our headlines today about IU men's and women's basketball. They are gaining a little notoriety as far as where they stand this season, so we'll talk about that coming up here in just a bit as well. Also, Dawson Garcia, big IU recruiting target. He will take his final visit this weekend. It's a senior year official visit to Marquette, and then it's expected that he is going to make a decision not too far along after this weekend, so we'll talk some about his recruitment as well. We'll catch up with high school football also coming up here a little bit later in the program today. Then segment two, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is with us. We're going to talk about IU Portland State. We're going to talk about Al Durham, Justin Smith, and other more specific topics with this team for the upcoming year. We'll do that in segment two. Then segment three, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us on the Friday show as normal. That's the show lineup brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can stop by Honey Baked Ham and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch. It'll be made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Send us a comment, a question. We'll try to get it on the air, try to do a better job of including some of your input on the program. And there are a couple ways you can connect with the program. I'm on Twitter. You can follow me at Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me. You can send a message there. You can also follow the show on Facebook. We have a page. Search The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Click the like button. You can also send us a message or leave us a comment there. And again, your question or comment may get read on the air in today's show or an upcoming show. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines now. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Obviously, a number of things to get into as we head into the weekend with Indiana basketball back at it, hosting Portland State at 2 o'clock on Big Ten Plus Saturday afternoon. And again, we'll have the broadcast if you can't get Big Ten Plus or you don't want to splurge for the subscription, the $9.99 at least for the month. You can catch the radio call of Don Fisher right here on the program. This Portland State team, and I was reading Alex Bozich's great preview of the game on InsideTheHall.com before the show today. They are led by a junior point guard who is the clear key player for this team. His name is Holland Woods. He goes by Boo Boo Woods, and he was the Big Sky Freshman of the Year last season in a couple seasons ago, in the 2017-18 season, and he was an all-Big Sky second-team pick last year. He averaged 15 points and just over 5 assists and 3 rebounds per game. So he's the key name to watch out for and obviously the key threat for this Portland State team. I think the most interesting thing that I read in Alex's preview of this game is that Portland State, they're going to play a full-court press on defense. They play 10 or so players deep, and they really have prided themselves on stealing the basketball and have been in the top 100 of steal percentages last season and had 18 steals in their opening game on Tuesday, which was a win over a Division III opponent. So, again, this is a game Indiana should win. Indiana should win it handily. This is a game where Indiana should be able to be just fine. It looks like without Devontae Green, not sure if Rob Fennessy plays or if he's inching back into the rotation with returning from an abdominal injury or not. But nonetheless, this is a game that Indiana should win handily and have the opportunity with or without Green and Fennessy to still experiment with some lineups and play different guys that are clearly going to be in, you would think, different roles and different minutes situations than what they're going to be in once the heart of the season and some of the tough games in the season arrives, no question about that. And, of course, for Indiana this weekend or in the game on Saturday, just a couple things to look at. The freshmen, how, and the newcomers for that matter, graduate transfer Joey Brunk, in addition to the freshmen, how are they fitting into the offense? How are they fitting into the defense? Jerome Hunter, in his third game back, two regular season games, of course, once this weekend's game is in the book, and the exhibition game last week, how does he take step forwards, little step forwards, maybe more minutes, maybe more points, maybe just looks a little bit better and more connected out on the floor? Those are a couple things that I'll be watching in a game against, again, a somewhat lackluster opponent that doesn't really excite you as far as saying Portland State's coming to Assembly Hall. Those are things that do excite you, I think, when you think about this Indiana team. How do the freshmen and newcomers fit in? What type of big roles, especially could Trace Jackson Davis play on this team? Jerome Hunter, is he going to fit into a big role by the middle of the season or by later in the season for this team? Those are things to watch out for, no question about it. John Gassaway, in our next headline of ESPN, he took a look at the top 25 dual threats in college basketball, men's and women's teams, for this 2019-2020 season. And it was interesting to see Indiana be number 25 on his list. With the men, obviously, a season of still a lot to prove Archie Miller, he writes, is trying to silence the critics with the solid season after missing the NCAA tournament, and of course goes on to highlight that Indiana losing Romeo Langford and also Juwan Morgan from their lineup last season, and highlights some of the new incoming players. And for the women, Notre Dame has dominated women's basketball in this state, but Indiana looking good early on. They have some players that are projected to be very good in college women's hoops this year. And so I saw a big opening season win earlier this week for the IU team. I think it was actually an exhibition win. They are expected to have a good year, and no question about it. Excuse me, get choked up here. No question about it that Indiana women's are primed for a very exciting season as well. So cool to see the men and women program put together and considered a top 25 program this season. And also in this story, for whatever it's worth, John Gassaway, who I really like his coverage of college basketball, and it's great to see him back once again writing for Indiana. He writes, or he lists the bracketology with the men's and women's team. And for the women, he has them as a sixth seed. And again, they just played their exhibition game, so their season is really, truly just beginning. And obviously the men are getting ready for their second regular season game on Saturday. He has the men as a first four team out. So close but no cigar, according to John Gassaway, at this way too early point to even think about the NCAA tournament and the brackets and things like that. But it is interesting, or I think I should say fun. It is fun to think about and see that Indiana projected that close. And if they're that close, in his estimation, obviously they could get in. They can make some improvements, and they can maybe finish better than what some expect them or initially expected them to do in the Big Ten Conference. So that obviously the season goal. There are lots of little goals in Saturday's game and in the month of November before Indiana even gets to primetime competition. But I do think when we get through November with the type of opponents that Indiana's playing this month, and I do think when we get into December, you will have obviously a pretty good read on this team. Two Big Ten games in the month of December, some big non-conference games obviously as well before full Big Ten play starts again in January. But I really feel like this Indiana team, you're going to have a pretty good read on them by the middle of December, definitely by late December on, okay, is this really a season? We're headed into the Big Ten Conference, the full schedule. We think this team can compete and can finish reasonably. Is this really a season where Indiana could make the NCAA tournament, even if it's the back end of the tournament? Again, I think by middle December we'll have a much, much better read. Still, obviously, won't know. There's a lot of basketball to be played still at that point, but I think we'll have clearly a lot better idea. Dawson Garcia, IU recruiting target, five-star, big man, talented player. Indiana has been recruiting him, I don't want to say since the staff arrived, but not too far after that. Tom Ostrom, associate head coach, deep connections in the state of Minnesota. We've talked about all of this before. It sounds like Dawson Garcia, by all reports, by all interviews, had a terrific, terrific visit that definitely helped Indiana, I think, close strong with Dawson Garcia and leave themselves very, very close to a commitment there. Now he's going to take a senior official visit to Marquette this weekend, and his dad told Evan Daniels of 247 Sports that likely after they get done with the visit, they're going to be ready to make a decision. It sounds like after the visit this weekend, they'll do the pros and the cons for the schools that are still involved with Dawson Garcia. Those schools are Memphis, Indiana, Marquette, and Minnesota, and then make an announcement about when the decision will be made and where and how they're going to make that decision. It sounds like they're getting to that point and definitely will be at that point of the recruiting process after this weekend. There was a Instagram video interview with Dawson Garcia, and it was fairly lengthy. I did not get a chance to watch the entire video, but he talked about the schools in his recruitment that are still involved and that he's still considering. And, he had positive things to say about everyone, but it did seem like he was very comfortable with Indiana. Lots of good moments during his visit, and I think, again, going off what we know from the visit and some of the interviews and the reports that came out after his official to Bloomington, and even this Instagram video interview with Dawson Garcia, I think it's clear to me, at least, and I could be reading it wrong, but I think Indiana's got a great chance, and I think Indiana and Marquette will be who it comes down to. I think a lot of people expect it to be one of those two schools, and I think we'll find out more next week. I don't know if he'll make a commitment next week, but I think maybe we'll get a decision date next week and at least know when this recruitment is going to come to an end and find out one way or another if Indiana is going to land him this season. High school football tonight. I mentioned that our coverage begins at 6 p.m. on the Big X Sports Radio. Jeff at Floyd Central. Highlanders, the big favorite there. Jeffersonville playing good football later in the regular season and now into the postseason as well. Still think the Highlanders will win that and go on to the regional. Providence, they have some work cut out for them. Triton Central has been a really strong program in 2A football. The Pioneers and Triton Central have battled before for a sectional championship, with Triton Central getting the best of Providence. And this is a Providence team that getting to the sectional championship is great. Winning it against Triton Central is going to be extremely tough, but we'll have updates from both games, including play-by-play from the Jeff and Floyd Central game when it kicks off tonight at 7 o'clock. Also, I've had a couple people tweet in asking about Romeo and the Red Claws, the main Red Claws in the NBA G League. When do they play? We haven't seen anything on Romeo. Has he played a game yet? Those type of questions. Here's what I see. The Red Claws play at Delaware on Saturday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern time. They play at the Delaware Bluecoats in Wilmington, Delaware, and it looks like the game is available online on a platform called Twitch, which I think ties in with Twitter. So you can go to the Red Claws website, and you should be able to watch Romeo. But by all accounts, I believe I've not read anything, I've not seen anything from the Red Claws and some of their tweets and media releases that indicate he's not playing. So I think at this point, and we know Romeo is healthy, as healthy as he can be at this point, coming off the groin and then the right knee sprain injury. But I, by all accounts, expect him to play Saturday night at 7 o'clock when Maine takes on Delaware. And like a lot of you, I'm hoping that Romeo gets plenty of minutes, able to score some points. We get to see that shot, get some confidence, because clearly he's going to get back to Boston. How quick? We don't know. Maybe a good start this weekend could help make that a very short visit. But he's clearly going to get back to Boston, and they're clearly going to give him an opportunity to earn some minutes and a role on this team. He's a lottery pick that they've invested a lot in already and invested a lot of money in over the first 3 years of his NBA career. So clearly this is an opportunity for him to rehab, to get minutes, to get out on the court, and really build confidence. I think that's probably the most important thing here. So Romeo Langford, let's hope he plays Saturday. I think he'll play Saturday. The season just beginning, so the Red Claws have not played a game yet. Saturday is their first game, and then after November 9th, this Saturday, they're off until next Friday when they host Fort Wayne and the Mad Ants. So we'll see if Romeo makes it a couple games or if it's going to be a lengthier stay for him, but we'll be interested to see Saturday night if he plays. I assume he'll play. And I would think that he would play a lot of minutes and obviously step right into a key role with this Maine team. Don't forget Taco Fall, the big guy, he's 7 foot whatever. He's with Maine right now. There's another Celtic or two with Maine right now, some two-way players. So you'll get it will be a good competition. It'll be a good game to watch and see him playing with some other high-level players. Those are the headlines for this Friday, November 8th edition of the program. The headlines are brought to you by Zaxby's each day here on the show. Try the Southern TLC Filet Sandwich, a buttermilk marinated breast filet served with lettuce, tomato, and mayo. You can find it at Zaxby's in Jeffersonville and in New Albany as well. We'll head to a break. We're back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday show to talk IU basketball with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, who's always with us to close the week out talking Hoosier basketball and the opening game of the regular season, at least, under the belt now. From earlier this week, Indiana gets ready for more mid-level, lower-level Division I competition coming up here in the month, starting again on Saturday. And Jared, a lot to, I think, take away from games against opponents that really don't move the needle as far as excitement or anything like that go at a high level of college basketball, but very necessary right now for this Indiana team to find who they are as they move into the season. And, of course, as we've been talking, move into the month of December when the competition level completely flips the script from what it is right now. I wanted to start today with Al Durham and also the junior class at Indiana, specifically Al Durham and Justin Smith as well. Those two guys have had, in the minutes we've seen so far, I think intriguing starts to the season for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, they, you know, the mentality that they have brought to, you know, this opening week, at least, you know, the just what we've been able to see in the exhibition game, what we were able to see in the first game, they seem like guys that, which is what you often see as a guy transitions from an underclassman to an upperclassman, it seems like they kind of feel like it's their time. You know, after playing supporting roles for a couple of years and not really being in leadership positions, you know, they're now at the forefront. Al is a captain. You know, obviously Justin is a junior who's played a ton of minutes. And, you know, it really seems like they are taking that to heart and, you know, much more comfortable, much more confident. And, you know, right now they've been the two most experienced guys who are out there. I mean, obviously, you know, Devontae Green hasn't been able to play. He's also a captain, and I really look forward to seeing what his mentality is once he gets back out there. And, you know, Deron Davis has only played limited minutes and, you know, just hasn't quite looked, you know, real healthy getting up and down the court quite yet. So he just hasn't really seemed to, you know, to kind of get in his groove. So Al and Justin, you know, have been the two guys that have really kind of taken the bull by the horns. Certainly they did in the first game. And I think that's great to see, you know, how much is it going to last? Is that what we're going to see in January or February? I don't know. But certainly you couldn't ask for more from two guys than what we've seen so far. And so I think that's really good because, you know, this team is going to have to lean on those guys. It's still a young team. There's still a lot of new pieces, but those guys have played a lot of basketball. And while their production has been up and down through their first two seasons, you know, I think now they are in roles where if they can really embrace that, they can be the kind of consistent producers that this team needs to lean on. And so, you know, you never want to, you know, I guess, buy into it too much when the competition hasn't been great and when they've been a little bit inconsistent through their first couple of seasons, but it's definitely been encouraging the way that they've started the year.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us on Fridays. It's hard to watch this team. I don't care if it's an exhibition game or a game against, you know, lower level Western Illinois earlier this week, but it's hard to watch these games and not, for me at least, get excited about the prospect of Justin Smith. We've seen his athleticism at times. We've seen his ability to be explosive at times and to score the ball and to really to be a finisher in many ways for this team. But it's never been consistent. So even if it's an exhibition game in Western Illinois to start the regular season, the fact that he had two back-to-back games does, I think, make you hopeful that there have truly been some big off-season improvements and maybe some consistency issues will be figured out this year. No, he may not score 24 points and average that the rest of the way this season, but if he could find a way to contribute and find a way to be a meaningful player out there game after game, even when the competition level steps up, hard to not get excited about what his role could be on this team.
No, for sure. You know, and I think, you know, with Justin, I think, you know, we're probably just going to have to accept because of his personality, he's not necessarily going to be a rah-rah type guy. You know, Al is much more of that type of guy. Although it was nice to see, you know, Justin at halftime of that first game, you know, kind of lead in the huddle. But, you know, and there are probably going to be times during a game where his body language isn't what people want. You know, like, I think that's just kind of part of his makeup as an athlete. But what you want to see is the aggressiveness and, you know, the, you know, running the floor when there's transition opportunities and getting on the glass and feeling comfortable with the ball in his hands on the offensive end. And, you know, we did an entire episode about this, you know, where, you know, now it's his junior year and he's kind of at this place where a lot of other guys have been, who have been great athletes, but you know, have struggled with the transition to college, have had questions about their personality and their makeup and all those things. You know, guys like Charlie Miller, guys like Daryl Thomas. And, you know, they tend to go one of two ways. You know, Charlie Miller never really moved beyond that and never really became that consistent producer that folks thought he could be. And a guy like Daryl Thomas did and was a huge player as a junior and a senior. And so, you know, when you look at Justin's first couple of years, you know, his first couple, you know, his first year, he comes in playing for, you know, the coach that didn't originally recruit him. He's a freshman, you know, goes through the ups and downs that most freshmen do, but had enough flashes and finished the year really strong to where you got excited about his sophomore year. And then as a sophomore, you know, he played on a team where everything went through Romeo and Juwan. His, you know, shooting didn't really come along, which really would have been a huge skill for him, given the way that Indiana was playing offense. And he just never seemed comfortable, you know, and never, you know, seemed like he had confidence in himself, never seemed like he really got the confidence of the coaching staff. His playing time went up and down. And so, you know, that's why, to me, when you see what's happened, you know, that, you know, at least with this first game, seeing that confidence level, seeing that comfort level, you know, seeing some of the skill improvements, like with his ball handling, that's why that stuff is all encouraging. Because I think if that confidence and that comfort level, if that is real, then I think you really could see that breakout as a junior that we all know, you know, he has inside of him. So, you know, again, the refrain that people are going to hear all November is, okay, we got to wait until the competition ratchets up a little bit. But I think with a guy like him, where so much of it is about mentality and consistency of approach and habits, there is something to take from these early games. And if he comes out and is ready to dominate and is, you know, playing like he did against Western Illinois, maybe not scoring, you know, quite that much, but if he's getting on the glass, if he's running in transition, if his defense is that engaged, then I think that's something that you can really take away from these early games, that, hey, maybe there's a mental switch, you know, that has kind of flipped for him as a junior that is really going to set him up for a big year.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We talk IU basketball with Jared each Friday on the program. Lots of good opportunities for Indiana to continue some of this experimentation and maybe for Justin Smith and other players to build confidence against lower-level, mid-level Division I competition. You know, I know fans get excited for the big marquee matchups, and there have been some terrific matchups to open the college basketball season, and that's part of what makes the start of the year so exciting. What will you, as a true IU diehard, someone that follows every angle of this team, every player of this team, what are some of the things that, even though the competition level may not be great, even though Indiana should and could win all of the rest of November games in a big way by sizable margins, what are things that you'll be looking forward to, looking at in each contest to mark progression in this team in certain areas or with certain players?
Well, a few things really stand out. Number one is guard health and just rhythm. You know, Rob Finnessy is a guy that hasn't practiced a ton. Each, you know, the exhibition game, the first game, you know, when he got in there, has looked a little rusty, but with more playing time has kind of gotten into his groove. And so I think, obviously, you know, getting him up to a point where he can play more minutes and to where he's, you know, ready to go right off the bat, I think that's important. Getting Devontae Green back on the court, you know, the guard depth isn't there, you know, in terms of being able to absorb an injury. But if you can get all four of those guys healthy and playing in rhythm, I continue to think that Indiana's backcourt can be one of the most underrated two-way backcourts in the country because of what those guys can do offensively and defensively. So that, to me, is the biggest factor through November, is get to December with those guys healthy, feeling good, feeling in rhythm, and then, you know, I'll feel really good about, you know, what we can do from then on. And then I think the other thing to really watch for is, you know, in the first game, in the exhibition game, Indiana has gotten off to good starts, you know, a nice change from what we got used to last year. But then as soon as the bench has come in, we've really seen a drop-off. And, you know, I think that's explainable, again, based on, you know, the fact that, you know, Rob Finnessy has been a guy that, you know, needs to get back in rhythm. And then you've got guys like Demezi Anderson and Race Thompson and Jerome Hunter who are coming in off the bench that are still getting used to playing major college basketball. Jerome didn't play at all last year. You know, Race and Demezi didn't play a ton. And so I think continuing to watch how those guys progress, how comfortable they become, you know, Jerome Hunter especially, you know, does that outside shot, you know, start to come? You know, I think that's going to be also really important to watch. And then, you know, I think just, you know, continuing to watch the freshmen in Armon Franklin and Trace Jackson Davis, I mean, they've been terrific. They've been rock solid so far. And that, you know, that's exactly what you want. And again, you know, we'll have to see it when the competition gets a little bit better. But can those guys continue to have the same consistent approach game in, game out, where they're being aggressive but limiting the mistakes? Because that's what we all expect from freshmen, right, is mistakes, kind of boneheaded plays, and they're going to have their fair share of them. But my goodness, Armon Franklin with 8 assists and no turnovers, you know, and Trace Jackson Davis, you know, really being efficient, 4 for 5, you know, getting on the glass, blocking shots. I mean, those guys have really, you know, they're out there doing a lot of little things that you maybe don't necessarily expect from freshmen. And so if they can continue to progress and just be as solid as they've been, you know, you never quite know what to expect from freshmen. And that was one of the hardest things to peg this offseason, is what contributions are you going to get from those guys? Well, I mean, right now, you know, they're kind of showing us that we can have some confidence in them. So I think that's definitely something else to continue to watch.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, IU and Portland State on Saturday afternoon. Nothing too exciting about this Portland State team that comes to Bloomington, but your thoughts on that matchup for IU Saturday?
You know, my thoughts on the Portland State matchup are the same as my thoughts really on Western Illinois and then Troy and whoever it is in between those games, North Alabama, I think. You know, these are all, you know, sub-250 teams in KenPom. They are not teams that should be able to compete with Indiana for 40 minutes. You know, so they're the kinds of games that if Indiana isn't winning by 20, 25-plus, you know, something probably went wrong. But again, that doesn't mean that there can't be, you know, areas for improvement and things that you watch, you know, some of the things that I just mentioned. So, you know, I think that's probably how Archie approaches it, you know, is really, you know, you're kind of playing against yourself and your own standard. I mean, he, you know, wasn't happy with the defense after game one. And I'm sure that was some coach speak, you know, because you don't want to be satisfied after an opening game blowout against a 300 level KenPom team. But that's the thing in these games is, you know, in any walk of life, especially sports, you are what your habits are. And think about last year's team. You know, the habits that game in, game out would really be bugaboos for this team. You know, poor starts, foul trouble, you know, offensive droughts, those things that you just, they become part of the DNA of a team. And, you know, those things, they can develop insidiously when you don't even realize they're developing. And so I think you've got to guard against that and really make sure that you're developing those good habits. And Archie is a coach who obviously understands that. And so that to me is the kind of stuff that I watch in these games, not as much the result, but the process. You know, I don't care if we're, you know, if we shoot, you know, 8 of 12 from 3-point range, were they good shots? Were we getting good shots in the offense? You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, you expect the result to be good. Certainly that's step one, is, you know, obviously Indiana needs to win these games and win them convincingly, but do it in a way where you're developing habits that are going to serve you well once the competition gets better.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest. Big Ten Conference so far this season, I mentioned this earlier in the week, there have been some interesting scores, and I've tried to catch bits and pieces of some of the different Big Ten games and their opening season games, whether it be against lower-level competition or whether it be, you know, Michigan State against Kentucky. Some slow starts by some Big Ten teams, not necessarily across the board. I know Ohio State had a big win over Cincinnati. There have been some other notable victories so far for the conference, but there have been lots of close games, and there have even been some Big Ten teams lose to lesser competition, early season competition, whatever you want to call it, even on their home floor.
Yeah, you know, last year one of the big early November storylines was, you know, the Big Ten and how many big victories the Big Ten was scoring over other big conference teams, which really set the conference up well, you know, just in terms of its overall power ranking and helping the strength of the arguments of bubble teams. Because that's the thing is, you know, you get into conference play and now how many opportunities do you have to bolster your resume because you're beating highly regarded teams? And so that's why, you know, sometimes it's, you know, it's fun to point and laugh if Illinois is going into overtime against Nicholls State, and you know, none of us ever want to see Purdue really have a lot of success in anything. But in the big picture, especially if you look at this Indiana team as one that might be on the bubble, you know, you really want the Big Ten to score as many victories and avoid as many bad losses as possible in the non-conference. And so, you know, there's only been, you know, kind of one round of games for most teams, but not the most encouraging start overall for the conference. And so you hope now is they get into the Gavitt games and, you know, some of these other, you know, kind of high-profile events where the conference has a chance to get some victories, you want to see some of the conference teams get these wins because it's going to help the conference's overall power rating. And then especially for Indiana, which is, you know, doesn't have a lot of opportunities for the big marquee victories in the non-conference, you need some of those conference games to provide you with those opportunities. So teams like Michigan State and Maryland and Ohio State, some of those teams, you know, you want them to win so that when you get your chance to face them, they're good. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of one of those things. You know, you have almost a little bit of a conflict of interest against some of your conference rivals where you don't necessarily like seeing them win, but it actually helps your own program in the process. So you got to kind of just look at it with the big picture in mind.
Absolutely. As this season has begun, still some interest and focus by everybody on Dawson Garcia, a five-star prospect from Minnesota. He is at Marquette this weekend. He has been there in the past, but back for a senior year official visit. They obviously are a school that, mileage-wise, much closer to him than Indiana, and many think that his decision, which could be forthcoming after the visit this weekend, will boil down between Marquette and Indiana. By all accounts, and we discussed this in depth coming out of his official visit in Bloomington a few weeks ago, by all accounts, he had a tremendous visit to Indiana, and Indiana has a legitimate opportunity to land Garcia, perhaps. That said, feeling on this recruitment, I know that you've tracked it from afar, but have followed it closely. Your feeling on Dawson Garcia as he prepares for what we think will be his final college visit to Marquette?
Yeah, I mean, from the, you know, third and fourth hand information, I suppose, that I've been able to glean, it seems like it's about 50-50, which is a good position to be in, you know, with an out-of-state recruit of this high caliber. I mean, I think if he does choose Marquette, there was just something that the coaching staff was not able to overcome in terms of how he felt at Marquette, because they've done everything. I mean, you know, the one thing I guess that we all got to see was the interview that Dawson did with the Tipton Edits guy on Instagram. And, you know, certainly you don't want to read too much into that, but, you know, saying things like he felt, you know, really at home in Bloomington, and, you know, that the fans are the best, and those kinds of things, you know, those are encouraging signs. He certainly seemed more enthusiastic talking about Indiana than the other schools on there. So what does that mean? I have no idea. You know, Marquette is obviously going to get their opportunity to make a big pitch right now. But I think Indiana is in a good position as possible. I think the coaching staff has really done as much as they can in this recruitment, and I would love to see him as a Hoosier more than anything. And look, and I think it's a really big recruitment. I mean, I think he really kind of completes, when you project the roster, he kind of completes the puzzle for, you know, looking at how the pieces fit together next year, for really feeling good about that as the kind of roster that can potentially compete for a Big Ten title, you know, and a deep run in March. So I think it's an important recruit. I look forward to the day where individual recruitments don't take on as much outsized importance as some of these ones lately have. And that's just out of necessity, because Archie's had to rebuild the talent pool, and, you know, we know some of the high profile in-state recruitments and all of that. But, you know, it'll be nice when you don't feel like you need that one recruit to complete the picture, but that's just where we are right now. And hopefully Dawson is the guy who says yes and kind of furthers the momentum that Archie has built on the recruiting trail, and that hopefully gets rekindled on the court this year too.
Jared Morris with us always on Fridays as we talk IU basketball. Jared, thanks for being with us again today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Don't forget that the Hoosier Report is presented by CC Power Sports. Every child's dream is a new dirt bike for Christmas at CC Power Sports. They're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage through Christmas. Simply put down a deposit and pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dream of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can visit ccpowersports.com. for more information on this great special Christmas deal. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, scheduled to be with us. We'll talk some recruiting, we'll talk basketball, and more after this on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports, final segment of the week on this Friday show. We always spend it with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, I want to cover a handful of topics with you. And quickly to start, high school football sectional championships will take place across the state tonight. We have three teams in our immediate area that are still alive and hoping to bring home a championship trophy tonight. Put everything is in the books for the sectional round of the tournament, at least. Take a look across the state for us at some of your favorites and some of the top-ranked teams. Any matchups, any teams stand out to you as we get ready to take a step forward in the football state tournament after tonight?
Yeah, probably most interesting tonight is the 5A game around here. It's Cathedral and Decatur Central are playing each other, and that is a rematch of last year. Decatur Central beat them, went on to play for a state championship, ended up losing that game to New Pal in the championship game. But, you know, pretty big rivalry been brewing between those two for a while. And like I said, Decatur beat them last year, which ended Cathedral's 13-year run of sectional titles. So that's going to be a really juiced-up game. Should be a lot of fun out at Arlington High School tonight here in 5A in the area. And then 6A, you got several really good matchups and kind of some new stories. You know, Lawrence North getting a chance to play Warren Central, a team they only lost by 1 point to this year. That would be their first sectional championship in a long time if they can upset Warren. Brownsburg, you know, they're coming off that big win over Avon last week. Avon was number one and undefeated. Brownsburg beat them and moved on into the sectional championship against Zionsville, a team that they beat pretty handily during the year. So interesting to see how that game lines up. And then, you know, that would set up, you know, Brownsburg, Ben Davis could play each other again. Ben Davis, a pretty big favorite, I think, in their game against Southport, and they would play next week in the regional, so that could be really interesting too. So a lot of really good games up here, 5A, 6A, and then you look on down, Mooresville plays number one East Central here in the area. That should be a really good game. So yeah, it's a fun night of football. Should be kind of cold out, but you know, definitely get out and see a high school football game if you can. It's getting down to the fun part of the season now.
This will be the first real cold. We've had some chilly nights, especially when the sun goes down. But this will be the first really somewhat winter-like night, and it's fitting that it happens on the night of sectional championships across the area. With the season beginning to wind down, obviously that means basketball season is beginning. Girls games started earlier this week, official games, no scrimmages, and boys practices officially begin full time 5-6 days a week, depending on each team's and coach's preference, on Monday, which means the high school basketball season, we could say, is officially here. It'll be just a matter of weeks, and we'll have boys and girls games simultaneously and lots of great action to start the year. And then, of course, some really good action over the holidays, and always a fun time to track some of the better players across the state. And I know you and I have spent some time on and off in the offseason talking about individual prospects local to us here in Southern Indiana, and obviously prospects that Indiana is targeting across the state of Indiana as well. But I think this year, and I'm always the first to get on this radio show and brag about it, But I feel sure that Southern Indiana has really, with the Romeo Langford years and now following that up with a multitude of Division I prospects and other interesting players in our area, I think Southern Indiana is primed for a good year, and I think it's earned some respect in the state. I'm curious how you see far Southern Indiana in your eyes as we prepare for this upcoming year.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I always feel like it's the respect is there, and it's only probably been heightened, you know, by what New Albany did there, and, you know, definitely what Silver Creek, you know, did as well last year, doing what they did in Class 3A. So, you know, I always feel like, you know, it's different than football, where, you know, I think you know, and I know, you know, football is especially the bigger classes, or you know, more so the bigger classes for sure. The talent is kind of congregated here in Central Indiana. I always feel like basketball, you know, while the talent is still excellent here in Central Indiana, it's more widespread. I think Southern Indiana has always, you know, produced good you know, good basketball teams, and I think that's proved itself out in the tournament over the years, and definitely in the last few years for sure. You have what Floyd Central's done, and what New Albany and Jeffersonville, what they're capable of doing this year, and, you know, really what they have done, you know, in the past few years, going to be really good again. So, and Silver Creek as well with the talent they have coming back. So, you know, I think it should be a fun year down there for you, you know, to cover all these teams, and, you know, for me to, you know, to watch everything throughout the state and hopefully do some good stories on, you know, guys playing not only here in Central Indiana, but all over the place.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, talking a little high school basketball with football sectional championship games across the state tonight. I think I asked you last week to kind of maybe give us your rundown of some of the top teams in the state as you begin to think about your high school basketball previews that you'll be writing, for, obviously focused on the Indianapolis area for the Star this season. How do you see the whole state this year? You've been somebody that in your time at the Star has not only done a great job covering all the happenings and the games and the players and the recruitments of kids going through, but you've always taken a look back class by class at where the players are at now and how that may be classed, ranked with other classes. And Indiana, from an individual talent and player standpoint, has just had some amazing years recently with top-level players going on to not only star in college basketball but be drafted in the NBA as well. Where do you see the senior class right now? Where do you see them at and what this year of basketball as a whole could be in our state compared to some of the other recent years or even some of the great years that have happened since you've been covering all this?
I've had probably a harder time this year figuring out the senior class as far as, you know, we do a super team, which we'll do a photo shoot this coming week on Wednesday and video, and it's a fun night. You know, we've had a blast doing it the last couple of years. We're doing football as well. But I had a harder time this year kind of picking out who would be on that team, you know, than I have in the past. And I always, you know, you kind of give the benefit to the seniors. I'd rather have seniors on there if there's a tie to break. Or if you're comparing, you know, two kids, you know, one might be a sophomore and one might be a senior. I normally give the edge to the senior, you know, just because I know this is their last time going through it. And you always kind of want to reward the seniors a little bit more. I had a hard time this year picking out 15 from our particular area here than I have in the past, for sure. Definitely last year I thought it was really easy. I kind of, you know, had a harder time necessarily just, you know, getting it to 15 than anything. And then this year, I think probably those last five spots were really up in the air, and it was harder, you know. And I think the senior class is not probably the depth-wise and certainly the top-end talent necessarily that we've had here recently. But there are some really good players in this class, and not to diminish those players by any means, but I just think there's not as many of them. You know, there's not as many in this class maybe that we've seen. You know, certainly last year I think was a really good class. I think, you know, I'd have to go back and look in particular on the years. You know, the 2015 class stands out, 2012 class stands out, and there's been a lot of really good ones. But so this year's just a little bit, I think it's a slightly down. Again, there are some really good players. I think we're going to end up having a really fun season. The junior class, though, the 2021 class, and I know, you know, we've talked about it on here before, written about it, and whatever. But I think I think that class is going to be one that has both the depth and the top end talent. And, you know, hopefully those kids will stay and play, you know, for their high school teams all the way through. But that may not be the case. We may see some of those guys go on to play prep schools next year. But I think there's some really excellent talent in that 2021 class, and they're playing for, it's not like they're not playing for those teams this year. They're going to be, you know, and that's why this year will be fun, because we'll see, you know, some of that talent rise to the top. We'll see some of the guys in that sophomore class. There's a couple around here, you know, Leland Brown played for Noblesville back in the day, but Leland Walker for North Central is a sophomore, really good player. And then Tayshawn Comer is another one, a sophomore from Cathedral, and yeah, you can go down the list. But so there are some really good players in that sophomore class as well, and I think we'll see those guys start to step to the forefront. And that's always the fun part, is to see, all right, who's the real deal and who's not, and we're about to find out.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star. Before we go, I think probably fun to mention or right to mention now with all this talk about basketball and the high school season getting ready to tip. December 14th, 2019, coming up here in just over a month at Southport High School, the Forum Tip-Off Classic. I saw tickets are now on sale at Silver Creek High School because the Dragons will take on Fort Wayne Blackhawk, which is an interesting matchup, not only in top teams, but also top players and top underclassmen as well. The nightcap to that event, which is a day-long of great games, Bloomington South and Culver Academies, which means Anthony Leal against Trey Galloway in the nightcap. I know that we've got lots of basketball between now and then, plenty of games to get out to, lots of exciting matchups to start the season even, but hard not to think about that great day of games, including Silver Creek in the second-to-last game and then the all-IU matchup in the finale that night.
Yeah, that's an event that's only gotten better over the years, and you think back to some of the all the talent that's played in that game in that day at Southport that Brian Snow and those guys put on. That's become a really neat in-season one-day event where you get to see a whole lot of talent in one venue in one place, and you know, you can just sit there all day. You can kind of come and go, and I've had to come and go at times with my own son's games going on, but I'm always there for a large majority of it, and again, really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun and a great way to, it's not necessarily a kickoff to the season, but it kind of feels like it because it's early in December. I think people start to, your mind starts to kind of grasp hold of its basketball season that day. And it's been a really good event. I think Brian does a nice job getting the talent the best he can put together there at one venue, and you don't always get everybody, but he comes pretty close to it. So looking forward to being there for that. I think we'll kind of, again, you kind of find out who's who early in the season and some new names start to emerge, and you kind of get a handle on, all right, that guy looks like Mr. Basketball or a candidate for it. And I think that's a night, for people to find that out.
Kyle Medenrip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, thanks for the chat. Have a good weekend. That's going to wrap things up for this Friday program. Thanks so much for being with us. Back with you Monday on the Hoosier Report, 11 o'clock. Don't forget high school football tonight at 6 p.m. Don't forget IU basketball on the airwaves tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock tip-off, 1 o'clock pregame show. Talk to you very soon. This is Matt Dennison on the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio.